We're going to call to order the Brule Planning and Zoning Meeting, Wednesday, August 22nd, 2012, time 6:30 p.m. Please turn off or silence any electronic devices. Please sign in, please, when you walk in, or if you have not signed the sheet, please sign before you leave. Please stand. Ms. Claudette, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
To allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, has everyone received and reviewed the minutes of July 25th, 2012 meeting? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, let's do the roll call, Ms. Patricia.
Commissioner Mullin?
Here.
Commissioner Payroll? Commissioner Staley?
Here.
Commissioner Travassos? Commissioner Sonnet?
Here.
Commissioner Perkins?
Here.
Commissioner Cornell?
Here. Okay, has any remarks about the minutes? Any comments, changes? If none?
I move that we accept the minutes.
Moved by Mr. Lemoine, second by Ms. Claudette Cornell. All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Okay, the minutes of July 25th, 2012 has been approved. All right, we'll move on to the zoning. Make a notation, Ms. Rhonda Payroll has entered the meeting. Thank you, Ms. Rhonda. So we're on zoning. We just started zoning, and I brought you a pen. We have a variance request, section 19.32.1, zoning district R1, side setback for Philip D. Roberts. The 670 Venzel Drive address would like to reduce the side setback from 10 feet to 3.5 feet. Is there any questions regarding this variance request? Or anybody would like to speak on this behalf?
I can speak when it's happening.
You've been doing pretty good with that.
Yeah.
Last three barons. Let's go for it.
Stop dressing before I come here. Joey Norman, 3419 Live Oak. What this gentleman is doing is he's enclosing his existing carport, and because he's enclosing the existing carport, he's moving his carport to the right on that picture, but that's really to the east. And if the edge of his carport will be 3.5 feet from the property line of the neighbor, which greatly encroaches on the side setback. The carport itself will have no sides to it. It'll be open all the way around. But because there's combustible material in the roofing material, you know, the roof and the gables and stuff, the part that says you can be only a foot and a half away only applies to the combustible material. So he would like to move it over. His neighbor on the east side is Bob Benoit. From the edge of the new carport to Bob Benoit's house is 20-something feet, 21 and a half. I can't remember what he told me, but it's over 20 feet. So you still have 20-foot setback, 20-foot separation between the structures. In addition, Bob has no objection to it. He's fine with it. He's glad he's doing it. There's no big deal. In fact, Bob is glad he's doing it because he has some pine trees, and Bob's been having to cut them pine trees, and that's going to get the pine trees cut. So, I didn't tell him to be here, and I don't know if he's coming or not, but if he does, he can speak for himself. But the town has no objection, as long as the neighbors and the fire hazard is not increased, we go with that. That's all.
Motion by Gary Sonnet. Second by Steve Perkins. All in favor?
Aye.
Nays? Ayes, carried. Mayor's request has been recommended to the town council. Okay, now we're going to open up a public hearing regarding the map showing proposed rezoning from R1, single-family residential, to B1 transition. Address, 395 Highway 1 North, Brule. Property lot B1A1, located in section 14, THS, R12E, SE Land District, west of the Mississippi River, town of Brule, state of Louisiana. Property owner, Richard Abear.
Cletus Langlois, Park Engineers and Surveyors. I'm here to represent Mr. Richard Abear. I think you might all recognize this map. We've been here the last couple of times to get this property partitioned. Now, Mr. Abear, is the original lot was 50 by 100, is where the building sits.
We have a pointer too, please.
Yeah, I see that. You have a pointer. And so the original lot was 50 by 100, and now we extended it back here and added 10 feet to this side, so really now it's 60 by 194. What we're asking for is to rezone this whole lot to transition. Right now, it's actually, it's zoned as a residential, but it's been a commercial lot, and actually, Dickie has done some work in the courthouse and come over from the assessor. It's actually been paying commercial taxes on it for the last 15 years. I think originally this was a part of a company that did work through the railroad and stuff, and I think y'all know what Bill was talking about, the brick building right here across from the little flower shop. I entertain any questions you have.
And the entrance is a?
The entrance right here is a private servitude of passage that access into this lot. It comes in here and it accesses into this lot at this point. And we added, if you look on your map, we had added an extra 15-foot utility servitude at y'all request. Make sure that all utilities could be accessed to the rear lot and to this lot also outside of that access.
Say that again?
We added a 15-foot servitude right here, a utility servitude, so that you wouldn't have to use this access for utilities if you could go, that utilities would go along here to this lot. We want to make sure we didn't cut it off the utilities. Also, too, at this time, Mr. Abear has a tenant. He's ready to come in. He's an air-conditioned man, and so that's kind of, you know, where we're going to go with this. I know there were some questions about what we'll be done with it.
Could you please review for me just briefly what is allowed in transition? I know air conditioning.
And I tell you what, Ms. Ron, I messed up and I did not bring my copy. I made a copy of the chart that came out of your planning and zoning, but it is a pretty restrictive zone. I don't know if Mr. Tom has a copy of it or not, but I left mine on my desk. I ran out in kind of a hurry because I was running late, and I had made a copy of it. But originally, we were looking at a commercial, but after talking to the mayor and a few other people, they asked us to go down to transition, which kind of actually is a little bit more restrictive on what you can do. It's more of in my idea, it'd be more compatible to like a sort of like a office type environment, you know, that type of, you know, office space or some type of, not really a true retail space or drive-up retail space, but more like office or storage or warehouse, that type of. It's pretty restrictive.
Which means there won't be a whole lot of traffic in and out?
Yes, ma'am. And I mean, really and truly, with an air conditioning guy, probably the only traffic you'll have is going to be from him. You know, most of his clients are going to be call-up guys. You know, they call up, he'll run out and go to, you know, to their place. I know I'm not going to carry my air conditioning to my air conditioning guy.
He should be receiving equipment.
Well, he probably will, yeah. I'm sure he'll go and pick up materials. He'll probably have UPS, FedEx, those type of things, deliver stuff to him.
So what if that doesn't work? How do we know what else will be put there?
Well, right now, your zoning is, guess on your transition zone, I don't know if you allow a caveat to be put on your zoning, you know, saying that, you know, if it fails to remain at this for six, but some people say fail to remain at this for 3 to 6 months after, you know, if they close the doors and it's not reopened again in 3 to 6 months, it'll revert back to the original zoning. I don't know if your zoning allows for that. I know some of the others, you know, y'all, the mayor said no.
Can I say something right here on the floor right now? No one on the planning zone has a copy of the wording of the transition?
Do you have it, Mr. Dickey?
I didn't prep it out, I figured I had to prep it.
I did, and I didn't bring it.
It says a service-oriented business.
Yeah, beauty shops and...
Beauty shops, hair, those type of things.
Doctors, lawyers, small service-oriented businesses. And it's the most restrictive zoning they have. That's why they try for C2 or C1. And explain to me how, you don't know what's going to happen on the road, so I hope the most restrictive one that they have. I also have a young man assigned, he wants to be in Brule Bad. He signed a 10-year lease with option to buy if we get up his own. He wants to stay here in Brule.
The definition in the book is professional office buildings such as physicians, attorneys, architects, engineers, realtors, small retail outlets, service-oriented buildings, financial institutions, and other similar uses included but not limited to the following were deemed compatible with the Brule land use plan. The Brule land use principles and other criteria set forth in a B1, which is your transition zone, uses shall be determined not detrimental to the neighborhood by the zoning commission and the Brule town council. Service-oriented businesses such as beauty salons, barbershops, locksmith, heating and air conditioning service, television sales and services, home appliance sales and services, and other similar uses limited to 3,000 square feet of floor space per business. And then this is also single-purpose retail outlets such as ready-to-wear apparel, studios such as arts, crafts, photography, antique shop, pharmacies, and other similar uses limited to 4,000 square feet, and financial institutions such as a branch bank, financial companies, brokerage service, branch savings and loans, and other similar uses. All outdoor storage must be completely screened to the height of stored material by a 95% solid wall of fence on all sides and by other screens not less than 4 feet in height. Uses prohibited. All uses not specifically permitted herein are prohibited. Minimum lot size of 6,000 square feet and the width of 50. We have 60 and we're way over 6,000 square feet. We're actually at 11,600 and something. And the minimum yards is a 20-foot front setback, 10-foot rear, and a 5-foot side, which had we applied the zoning first, we wouldn't have needed the variance before because we had to get a variance before because the residential is at 10. We're only 9 point something. So with this one, we won't move that variance to go away.
Public hearing still open. Anybody else?
It's going to be used for storage since 1942.
And you, Gordon?
Yes, ma'am. I'm adjacent to that on that.
I'd like to speak last. If no one has any objections, I do have objections. I'd like to speak last. I'll be addressing the issues that's brought up. Well, when you close it on me, I know how you operate. I mean,
okay. All right, anybody else?
My name is Woody Trish. My wife and I are residents of the town of Brule, and our address is 449 Highway 1 North. The property that we own and live on is zoned residential. Our property abuts the subject property and is also used to access it. All surrounding properties are also zoned residential. I did not oppose the previous request for a resubdivision of this property, even though variances were requested, were required before the town would approve it, because rezoning was never mentioned at that time. But now that this has come up, I oppose this request for rezoning in accordance with the town's planning and development regulations. I feel that anyone who lived where I live in a strictly residential environment and in my position would feel the same way. If this property was rezoned, any business that falls into the transition uses permitted to be put there now or in the future. A doctor's office, dentist's office, branch bank, etc. Once property is rezoned, the town cannot go back and say, we shouldn't have done that. I have attended town meetings for many years and know that the requests for rezoning have been denied because the town had the foresight to see the problems that could be created either then or in the future. Chapter 19 clearly states that all decisions shall be made based on what is in the best interest of the town of Brule. The town of Brule is now and desires to remain a primarily residential community. Businesses are welcome, but only if they do not disrupt the residential environment. Section 19.21 says that spot zoning should be avoided. This would definitely be spot zoning. This property is a small area that would be carved out of a community that always has been and still is strictly residential. All of the property along the west side of LA1 from the northern town limits to the west main is zoned residential. Section 19.21 also says that commercial businesses activities should have access to arterial and collector streets only. This property is not fronting on a public street. The only access to this property is via a private servitude of passage that is on my property and is my driveway and front yard. Similar residential areas not fronting on a public street are located, for example, off Allain Street. Could this set a precedent throughout the town if this property was rezoned? How could future requests be denied? Sections 29.23 and 19.31 talk about a buffer zone, and it is defined as an area between two conflicting uses, and it shall be required between residential and commercial areas. It also says that a buffer zone shall be established when locating an incompatible use adjacent to a conforming use. This required buffer zone cannot be created between this property conducting commercial business activities and my residential property, because then there would be no way to access it. Would a variance be required at that time also, and possible others? Section 19.31, titled B1 Transition, states under permitted uses that these uses shall be determined not detrimental to the neighborhood. Also, where commercial or bus residential, a 6-foot, 95% solid fence is required between commercial business and residential areas. This requirement also cannot be met between the property conducting commercial business activities in my residential property, because then there would be no way to access it, would another variance be required. This property has already been granted 2 variances during the resubdivision process. You cannot predict what the future will bring. Would you want this in your residential area? Some other concerns that we have are traffic and deliveries, workers and their vehicles, customers, large delivery vehicles, possible 18-wheelers for deliveries. They talk about an air conditioning service building. I know of many air conditioning service buildings where they do heavy commercial work, where there are very large air conditioners delivered and taken off the property. Would you want all this non-residential traffic? Trash pickup. A garbage truck would not go down a private drive. If a dumpster is required now and in the future, how can it be accessed? But on LA1, DOTD would not allow that because of safety concerns. Another one is noise. According to transition description, decibel level shall not exceed a maximum of 70 decibels at property line. What if metal work, as far as building metal plenums and duct work for this air conditioning, goes on? Who controls the noise level and the hours of operation now and in the future? These are just some of the concerns that would not be in accordance with the town's regulations, and that is why this rezoning is opposed. Thank you.
I'm just going to answer a few questions, Mr. Rosa, before I let Mr. Richard speak. Please lay off, I can just survey it. Remember, we did ask for a couple of variances. One was on the front footage, which we had 60, and it was an 80. And then we did ask for the sideline variance, which was 10. We had 9.2, which at this point would go away if we got this rezoning on both of them, because we'd actually conform then. We would have enough frontage, we'd have more than enough square footage, and we would also meet the side setback line. Also, too, this building has existed as a commercial building throughout the years. The only access to all of their property back there is through that servitude of passage. So everybody has the same right to that servitude of passage as each other. Also, the two garbage pickup will be at LA1, and that would be a concern that will be taken care of. Also, too, a fence will not be constructed right along the servitude of passage. A fence will probably be constructed along the rear of the building to, you know, you're not going to store stuff in the front of your building. That'll just be where your parking is and stuff. And on the side of the building will be your building access. I think also, too, it's mentioned a bunch of times about, you know, spot zoning and about now you're coming out and you're doing things that are detrimental to the neighborhood. But I think that's why those words in that. And then they said, then Mr. Twitter said at the, towards the end, well, if you open this can of worms, it's going to allow everybody in. But remember, that last line says, you have that option to turn it down at any time if you see it's not fit. So if somebody else comes up here and it's not fit, you can turn them down. They can't use another zoning or another classification or another precedent that you set. Also, too, you know, I mean, he keeps quoting commercial. We're not commercial. We're transitional. I read you what transitional said. I read you what was allowed in it. I read you what the stipulations about having a fence. We will have a fence. It will be more than 95% screened because I think a wood fence is 100%.
Continuous with my property line, please.
Excuse me?
Continuous with my property line. That's what the...
We don't have to go all the way to your property line, Mr. Trish, because actually it just says we have to fence in whatever material we have stored outside.
Cletus, it actually states the side property to the building line in the front on the side
right.
of the property.
And if you only have to, if you read the ordinance, it says you only have to build a fence up to cover what you have stored outside. So if you only stored something on 10 by 10, you can have a 12 by 12 fence and have it in there. You know, so I imagine the fence is going to run from the rear of the building to the top bank on the canal in the back. I guess if you have any more questions for me, I'll be glad to answer them. If not, I'll let Mr. Richard speak.
Can you say something?
Yeah.
Okay. My name is Arlene Trish, married to Woody. He went through all the technical part of it because I don't know enough about planning and zoning. And I understand people's logic about they felt like this was always commercial type property, okay? As y'all all know, we grew up on the property next door to it. It's never been used for what I call business. Lots of people in and out. It's been 30 to 40 years, I guess. I have no idea how long it's even been a, quote, pump house. Back then, I think a little man, best I can remember, they're older than me, they can remember more than me, but a little man used to come once every now and then and turn valves or whatever. The property has changed hands many, many times through mergers and buyouts and et cetera. I mean, I could probably count on one hand how many times I've seen somebody have a need to even go there. July of 2007, I think it was roughly, I mean, it was totally, I use the word abandoned. It had no electricity even going to it. It was just there. It wasn't used to anything. During the hurricane, there was damage to the building. People didn't even come check on it and whatever. I mean, all the interest, you know, we had an interest in the property, too. And it was solely just to protect our residential area. Because our property is used to access it. I don't know if how many of y'all maybe even went to look or whatever. I mean, people buy property next door to where they live all the time just to try to protect themselves. I mean, if we would have bought the product, I wouldn't have asked it to be rezoning. It would have been used for commercial, or I don't want to use the word commercial, business. When I use the word commercial, to me that's anything but residential. A business to me is a commerce of some sort, or any kind of money-making purposes or whatever. I refer to the building as abandoned because I have correspondence from the previous owners that they wrote to me, and they referred to it, their correspondence, abandoned pump house. I mean, I can show you a copy of it. I have a copy of it. It's just never been any kind of traffic or anything there. And yes, commercial traffic is different than non-residential. You don't know, as you said, as Dickie said, nobody knows what the future holds. And let's say if he said he had somebody that maybe wanted an option to buy it down the road or 5 years or 10 years, whatever. Say if it's a, I don't remember that whole list of things y'all had under transition of bank branch. People in and out, you know, over your driveway, da da da. I mean, I understand that for residential use. That's the way that property has always been accessed. But not a lot of commercial or transitional, or whatever you want to call it, type properties. True, if the air conditioning business wouldn't go through or whatever, and it was all these other things, I mean, who? You can't predict the future. I don't know, or if anybody knows, they can say they're going to do one thing with it, and I'm not saying this about who Dickie would lease it to, but if that didn't work out, anybody else, and they come in and say, oh, we're going to do this, and then other things start happening, it's too late to change it then. You can't say there's only going to be, I don't know if Cletus said UPS or FedEx trucks. Who? How can you say that? I mean, how, if these people might say, yeah, that's all I'm going to have. Are they going to store stuff there? I mean, air conditioners are this big. I don't know if they come in on UPS trucks or units. Or, I don't know enough about that. But they can say, yeah, it's been, what's the word you used? Taxed or whatever at commercial. I would assume so because companies have owned it, but it never has been used as a business per se. That's all I can explain.
Thank you, Mr. Trish. Mr. Gordon?
I've been living on that property addicted to it, well, on some of it, 21 years. All in the 8 years, she don't know the traffic used to come in and out of there. They come here with commercial, and we use the storage. People just, they used to come there every day, once, twice. They didn't haul stuff, they used it for storage. That's all this Agnes man wanted to use for, the storage. And we come in and out, he got buildings all over the place. He just wants to store stuff, that's all this other company does. And I have no objection other than, you got another case on over there, and I don't think he has no problem with it. There's no traffic on a driveway. In 1942, my grandfather gave the solidway a 25 by 50 foot wide servitude, which their driveway is 25 foot wide. She wants to say it's 12, but it's 25 by 50. Thank you.
What? That makes sense.
Anybody else? Yes, sir.
I've been living there for 15 years.
I did. Okay, 14.
Almost.
Hi, my name is Richard A. Barron. One of the comments I had was listening to the discussion, and there were some things that it didn't quite seem to make clear sense to me. That is our family's land, and always has been. All of our family's interest is in preserving that. You want to, I'm hearing that you want to keep this as a community and a residential setting and stuff, but yet your comments state you're living next to an abandoned building, that it received hurricane damage, there have been no repairs to the building, it's in a state of decline. To me, that would lower your property value, so I don't understand that. The noise, you live next to a railroad track. The noise has always been an issue. It just doesn't seem to make, I don't understand what you're saying, basically. It doesn't.
The noise level you're talking about? I mean, traffic and a, can I talk?
Yes.
Traffic and railroad, yes, you know that's there. when you move there. But commercial traffic in and out, and if there were, I don't know, whatever words were used about work being done, do you pop rivet stuff together? I don't know how air conditioning stuff is done. But yes, I mean, it could be a lot of non-residential traffic. Everything along LA-1 on the west side is zoned, residential. And it's spot zoning, and that's something that the town has repeatedly turned down requests for.
But it doesn't sound to me like they have ever gone against having it zoned otherwise, that it has always been used in a commercial aspect, that it has been used for storage, that it has never been an issue before now or petitioned to not be prior to this.
It has been abandoned for over 5 years, and that's a fact.
And
Bluestar blew a portion of the roof off. The owners never came back. It's been abandoned. So don't say it's been stolen.
Okay, we'll have one at a time. You can finish, Mr. Richo.
And basically, I just don't understand the whole principle of it. It's, businesses operate in normal business hours within the day. It's not like it's going to be a nightclub. There's going to be tons of traffic going in and out of this place all the time, and hoopla and
how
stuff.
How do you know that?
How do you know? I mean, how do you know? How is anyone to know that you're not going to sell your property tomorrow and not even be there as part of the aspect of the discussion?
We'll have one speak now.
That's all I had to say. It didn't seem to make much sense to me. If I personally was a property owner there, I would be much happier with the structure next to me being maintained, used, functioned, and not abandoned, and not torn up for 5 years, and looking like that. It just seems contradictory to me, that's all.
Thank you, Ms. Dable.
I got one. Clayton Abair, Vicky Song. Ms. Trish stated that people all around Brule buy property next to them to preserve and protect their property for a simple reason. This property was up for sale. She had the option to buy it to protect her property, to make it whatever she wanted to be. Someone else stepped up to the plate, spent the money on it, and now it's not right for them to try to hold the person back who stepped up and bought the place. So.
Thank you. Can I respond to that? No, this is nothing.
Ms. Trish, would you come up?
Oh, okay. This is trying to be made into a personal issue, and it's not. If one of y'all had bought the property, if anybody had bought the property, I would still feel the same way. This is nothing personal. It's that it's a residential environment. It's spot zoning. And I think if y'all would probably feel the same way. I just don't see how somebody who lived where we live wouldn't see that way. I can understand if other people don't see it that way because it doesn't touch them. It does not affect them in any way. The people that it affects is Woody and I. And Cleese, I just had a quick question. When you were pointing up and down over there, okay, you said that's the way to get in and out of the property. And that's not true.
Well, do you look?
I don't understand what you were saying there. And I don't even know which way I'm looking.
This is your house is here. This
correct.
Is the property. You come in here and you access the property through it. But as
right.
to access for this property, we extended this out and made a 25-foot servitude pass here. Then we added a 15-foot utility servitude right here for utilities for this property. We just wanted to make sure they understood that utilities wouldn't have to pass on your property.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll assume they got all the utilities. But so you don't show the true way that it comes.
Well, we did on the original map, but on here we got with all of the notes and everything that we had to get on here, we kind of had to leave that off, but we show it as being a servitude pass on the original map. And you just got kind of clustered.
Oh.
You don't like to get so tough on that.
I mean, but I'm...
I'll be there.
I'm just saying, this is not a personal issue.
I'll second that motion.
At all. It's not. It's not because it's him buying it, or Gordon would have ended up, or Clayton would have ended up with it, or Richard, or Cletus, or Joey Norman.
You beg me to buy it, I'm happy with you, so think you could buy it.
Okay, Cletus, thank you, Ms. Trish.
Tell me so.
I'm just, only one thing I want to say, and just kind of finish my comments, and I'll let Mr. Richard speak, is that there's been a lot of talk about spot zoning. If you listen to what they're actually saying, and what B1 is a transition zone, it's a zone to be transitioned between residential and commercial, and it's kind of a lighter version of a commercial for that reason. Also, too, you know, I wish I had a crystal ball, I could sit right here and say, 25 years from now, this thing will still be high back, or it'll be, you know, air-conditioned down there, but I want somebody to sit a crystal ball right here and tell me it won't be. You see, I think that runs both ways, and I've dealt with these issues through rezoning almost every time people come up to oppose a rezoning, they always say, you never know what it's going to be in the future. And I'm going to agree with that, because you never know. It's probably going to be the same thing it is today. It's probably going to be high back, because I'm sure the guy wants to stay in business for more than 20, 25 years. But the thing about it is if you had a crystal ball, you don't know who's going to live next door to you tomorrow. You don't know where the zone is going to be next to you in 25 or 30 years. And so I don't think that's a good opposition. I don't think saying, trying to cloud everybody's mind and make them scared of what it's going to be in the future is a good opposition. I'm just going to go by what the law says. The law says I need 60 feet frontage. I have that. The law says I need more than 6,000 square feet. I have that. The law says that I need to be more than 5 feet from the sideline. I have that. I have my access. I have everything in place. And I qualify underneath your transition zoning to have this here. And that's just what I'm going on. Going strictly on the law. No emotions. Nobody, you know, kind of clouding it with what's going to happen in the future or what may happen or whatever like that. And I really, you know, asking that y'all vote based upon the law. That's it. That's what we're here for, and we guided by that. And that's all I have to say. I'm going to let Mr. Richard talk.
Okay, thank you, please. We'll have one more, Mr. Richard. You'll be the last.
My turn?
Okay.
Give y'all some of this paper. There's two copies of paperwork to look at, and a copy of the lease I have. So I don't have access to that. I want to have a couple things I want to say first, and then I'll address some of these issues that I just heard, because a lot of them's on my list anyway. My name is Richard A. Bear. I lived in either in Brule or within 2 miles of the city of town of Brule all my life. Have no plans of going nowhere. Well, I'd like to say the building in question is the Union Texas Products Corporation. They put this commercial building and property up for sale in March of 2012. At that time, Gordon Hebert, Arlene Trish, and myself, all three of us were given equal opportunity to purchase this property prior to it going for sale to the public. We had first dibs on it. I was a high bidder on this particular property, and I acquired it on April the 9th of this year. At the time of the sale, I paid prorated commercial taxes on this building to the parish of West Baton Rouge. West Baton Rouge Parish Assessor's Office shows that commercial taxes have been paid by all owners of this commercial property dating back 70 years to 1942. Town of Brule also shows commercial taxes paid on this property. Showed as being commercial taxes paid on this property by the last owner. That was a Union Texas Products. And I found the way it showed through 2005. And I believe that's the last year that the town of Brule actually had a tax roll. So even at that time, it was being recognized by all parties concerned as commercial. And I feel like the 70-year-old commercial building is actually a Brule landmark. And I doubt if anyone here in this building can say they've ever driven on this highway and said, oh, look, that's a nice residential building. It is what it is. It's a commercial piece of property. Just should have been grandfathered in if you followed the paper trail back 70 years. When I purchased the commercial property, I knew the survey showed on the east side of it, and I'm going to say this property, I'm talking about my property, it showed on the east side a 10-foot utility servitude. And I knew that the town of Brule and the West Baton Rouge Parish employees use this to access the drainage servitude for Tonton Canal that is on the south side, which is the rear of my property. I knew that from my boy. There's an 80-foot wide drainage servitude back there that was given to the town of Brule by my father, JCA Bear, when he owned this land to help the town of Brule out with their drainage issues. I knew when I bought this property, to the west side of the property, there were three landowners or residents on the side of them. In fact, one of them, my brother, actually donated land, like y'all know, to help me get the appropriate footage for the building of land to make this transition go smoothly. He wanted me to have it and go smoothly. Anyway, you got three, there's three landowners, three landowners over there that access their property by driving over a 25-foot servitude passage that shows to be approximately 250-foot long going east to west. I also knew when I bought this property that the three owners on the west side, which is actually the south side of the property, the churches, but they were all in on it. I knew the three landowners to the west. That's my brother, Gordon A. Bear, Michael A. Bear, Chuck A. Bear. They all own that land over there. And I knew they were using, I knew the three owners to the west, which is on the south side of the property owned by Arlene Trish at the time when I bought it. They were using the existing 25-foot, approximately 280-foot long servitude passage created in 1980 by my grandfather, V.J. Shakespeare. He put that property in, that servitude in. And that's the same servitude passage that the commercial owners have used since 1942 to access this commercial property. And it wasn't, I don't think it was actually documented until about 1980, as far as showing that, you know, it was on there. On the north side of my property, my three brothers, my brother, my nephew's property, my father also donated land to the town of Brule to help put their sewage system in. That goes across my property. I'm not going to say it caused me a problem. I knew it was there when I bought this property. I accepted that. Well, if you fast forward 20 years today, if you look at a map, there's now two 25-foot wide servitude of passages. They run parallel to each other, east to west. They run several hundred feet. Anyway, this creates a 50-foot wide servitude of passage upon entry to the property. There's no such thing about them using their 12-foot driveway to get to my property or the other property. There's a 25-foot wide servitude passage as soon as you enter their property, and there's a 25-foot servitude passage of mine. As soon as you enter on that property, everybody immediately veers to the left. I have pictures up there. No one drives to the rear of that property. No one drives to the side of that property. No one drives to the front door or the sidewalk. No traffic is going by that house whatsoever, now or in the future. There's no reason for it to. I'm going to change the subject in just 1 second. Tonight, Mr. Buddy Powell, he's the one that wants to put the heating and air business in here. He called me at 5:30 p.m. this afternoon. He texted me rather. He could not make it. The traffic mess in Baton Rouge. But he has signed a long-term lease. He wants to stay here. He wants to be here. It's a service-oriented business as per B1 zoning. That's what it calls for. And it has very little time that he actually spends on the site. A service-oriented business, you're gone all the time. But I do have tonight here, on the south side of the property, Ms. Inez Lejeune is here also. She's representing the three lot owners on the south side of my property, which is across the Tonton Canal. Also tonight on the west side of me, Gordon A. Bear, Chuck A. Bear, Michael A. Bear. That's all the landowners on the side of me. All of these people here are in full favor and support of this rezoning to transition. They know I'm not going to trash it up. That's all my family. I don't want all this mess going on over here. My brother, he'd probably tell you, he probably keeps the place far worse than I'll ever keep this place as far as being neat, organized, and all. Let me continue on that for a second. Mr. Powell signed that lease. If you look at it, I made it even more restrictive than the town's restrictions as far as go up, they don't hollow out dumpster and all. It states on that lease, all the thing he can have is the regular trash can that all of the residents use, that we all bring out till they want. Anything that he uses will be dumped. It's on that lease, at an off-site of his choice, at his expense. He will not have no garbage over there. The restriction says a 6-foot fence running adjacent to my brother's land, except for the 20-foot setback in the front. So I'm going to put a 140-foot whatever fence, separate the adjacent land on the side of it. You can't put it in front of where the trash is, because then you're blocking off the entry to it, because it says on the adjacent land. You can't put it, I can't put it on the 20-foot to block them out, no more than I can put it where he's talking about on the front of the property. It just can't happen. Also, it shows in that lease, he's going to pay for another area behind the building, approximately 600 square foot. He's going to fence in. It states that he will not have no truck, no junk, no nothing that you can see outside of the fence. Not behind one fence, a whole other separate pen. And I made it specifically on the south side of the building so the trishes cannot see none of it. When they look at it, all you see is the same building you see now, a nice fence on one side. If he stores a little utility trailer or something behind a 6-foot fence, it's completely out of sight. They complain about how bad the building looks. Man has to take the garage doors off, but those 10 doors. He doesn't put a garage door and a nice home door and all in front of it. Dress the building up. He wants it to look nice also. Anyway, let me get back to this. If you look at the map, if you look at one of those maps up there, you'll see that the five landowners, and I'm talking about the four of us, that's me, my brother, my nephew, all of us on this strip, and the Trishes, I'm including them in this five. If you look at the map, you'll see the five landowners here today were all cut off, isolated, and separated from all the other residents on this particular property by the Tom Canal and its 80-foot wide servitude on the south side of it. We all isolate. That canal separates us completely from everybody. And then on the west side of the property, well, the Tom separates us from the south and the west. All this five landowners are also cut off, isolated, and separated on the north side by the St. Clair cane fields. And the same thing goes true on the east side for LA1. Also, the adjacent landowners next to me, Mr. Legerno had the three lots on the south side. My brother had the four lots on the side. They actually have land on the south side of the Tom that can never be built on. That creates a buffer zone. They keep talking about buffer zone. That creates another buffer zone, the Tom Canal, the 80-foot servitude, and this land that's completely cut off. That creates the buffer zone for many other subdivision homes anywhere on the south side of that property. And I mean, I have no much more to say. And finally, when I purchased this land on April the 9th of this year, I knew the layout of my land and everybody else's land. Arlene Trish purchased Lot B on August the 14th of 1998. She knew the same thing we have. That building was there. She's talking about all the derelict or it looks bad enough. The town, I checked with the mayor, he's right here. That town has never had one complaint about the roof is bad, the door is bad, something's torn up. They have never sent the landowners any complaints. And the Trishes have nothing on file where they legitimately complain to anybody in the town of Brule about something wrong with that building. Let, all right.
So are you wrapping it up?
I've got one more little line. She bought that on August of 98. Lastly, Woody Trish only recently acquired the property he's all concerned about, which is Lot B on the side of it. He only acquired this property on April the 16th of this year, 7 days after I purchased this building. And he knew at that time when he acquired ownership of it, all of the details of all the surveys, because he had done a survey on all of these properties. And he chose right then to accept ownership of that property, knowing everything that was going on around there. And this being said, I'd be willing to address any kind of legitimate issues anybody have or questions. But I do see on the back real quick that questions that she brought up, One of them is the garbage. I think I addressed the garbage issue. The other one's the traffic. Traffic, that's like a non-issue. There's not going to be, there's going to be less traffic there than if I turned into a resident, went up to a couple of two teenage kids. Those four vehicles, 24/7, is far more traffic. And it could be far more noise, if there were my noise, than a building where the man is only there, it's a set 40-hour week business, and he's never there. The fence, I described the fence, and I think it's all we really have to say right now. Unless anybody has any questions whatsoever, I'd be glad to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Avery.
No problem.
Okay, we'll close the public hearing. Does the members have any questions?
I have one. Trish, which house is yours?
Where?
When you look at it?
On the right.
The white.
On the right? First one?
Yeah, the white house.
Right, it's right here. This is the railroad track, and Woody and his house is right here.
It's a little bit further up, dude. Bring it up. Bring it down.
Right here.
Look at that picture, yeah.
This is their lot.
I like the pictures I gave y'all. If you look at my pictures, you can see it real obvious, the house they're living in the picture, as far as the driveway breaking off long before it gets to their house.
Okay, what, any more questions from the members?
Who owns the crossing, the railroad crossing?
Where all this issue starts belongs to the railroad and the state of Louisiana.
Yeah, forgive me, but I'm kind of low on.
I guess we're opening the public hearing again?
This is their property line. This is actually the railroad right-of-way. So everything from here to LA1 is either railroad right-of-way or road right-of-way.
That's my question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all. It doesn't belong to anybody personally. It's either railroad right-of-way or LA1 highway. Right.
And I got one more thing. My reason it is, and when they made this zoning and they made it residential, and they did the whole town of Brule, and they got places on East Main that was commercial. They made it commercial. They got places actually on East Main, they got houses that's commercial. Non-conforming now because it's on commercial, but it's a residential thing. I think they missed this lot. It was a commercial building, it should have been zoned commercial.
That's kind of how we were feeling, and it was assessed like that in the assessment office.
Got a house on West Main, it's commercial.
That's what I know. They made, you know, when they did this, when they re-zoned everything, that's my opinion, that it should have been zoned.
But would the town call this, what y'all call spot zoning?
It's called transition.
Okay. The public hearing is now officially closed. What are the wishes of the members?
I make a motion that we rezone it to transitional, B1 transitional.
We have a motion to rezone it B1. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Sonia.
We don't approve the rezoning.
No, we just recommend.
Recommend.
Yeah, I make a motion to recommend to the council.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Lemoine?
Yes.
Commissioner Payro?
Yes.
Commissioner Skelly?
No.
Commissioner Sonia?
Yes.
Commissioner Perkins?
No.
Commissioner Purnell?
No. I vote. So now what we do?
I think it would go to the council.
We just leave it like that, Tom?
Just leave it like that. That's the vote.
Okay. All right.
Thank y'all for y'all's time.
I vote.
I appreciate everybody's effort and, you know, everything that we're looking into.
Thank you. Now, we're going to move on to the planning portion of this meeting. The public hearing is now open regarding the proposed subdivision of the DAGOR LLC properties located in Section 55, TAS, R12E, Southeast Land District, west of the Mississippi River, West Baton Rouge Parish, Louisiana, is shown on map entitled Revised Preliminary Plat, Orleans West Subdivision, dated July 26, 2012.
Good evening. I'm Sean Hyman with Alvin Fairburn and Associates. We're the civil consultants for this project. I'm here tonight to request approval of a revised preliminary plat for Orleans West subdivision. This is the property, it was approved several months ago. We have currently an approved preliminary plat. We have also approved construction plans. They're under construction right now at the end of Orleans Quarters Boulevard. We're requesting a couple of changes to the layout. The largest and most obvious change is the elimination of two ponds in the center of the property. We actually combined those two ponds with the large pond that was at the rear, creating a larger pond at the very back of the property. In doing so, it reduced the total linear feet of street and allowed us to create two additional lots. We have the same number of right-of-ways, the 50-foot crossings that we have throughout the property. We have the same number of crossings. Again, the largest change is moving the two ponds and consolidating them with a large pond in the rear. We're also, one last thing, we're requesting to have this approved in phases. Not so much from a construction standpoint. Construction has started at the end of the existing Orleans Quarters Drive, and it's going to continue until we get all the way to the back. They're trying to expedite the actual construction of the residential structures in there, the actual homes. And rather than having everyone waiting until they got all the way to the back of the property, they broke it up, or requesting to break it up into three phases. So that once they finish all the improvements in each phase, and it's everything's been accepted by the town and by the council, they could actually go ahead and start, sell the lots and start the construction on those houses while they're doing the remaining construction to the back.
So they're still going to do the?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
All right, any questions? Anybody has any questions?
No, I have a question. So I'm going to assume the first phase is going to be from where the turnaround currently exists to a certain point.
Right, I see it,
okay. What happens if the market falls through and then they decide to abandon phase two and three? What's going to happen? Are we going to require y'all to put a turnaround? I'm kind of...
The construction plans, like I said, we've actually already done, prepared the revised construction plans. There will be a T-turnaround there at all times, and it is added, it's in the construction plans currently.
At the end of each phase?
Correct.
So what's a T-turnaround?
I'm sorry? It's an area for a vehicle to turn around.
A bus to back up and turn.
Okay, so it has, there's enough for a bus to get in there and the garbage trucks without?
Correct. There's one currently installed at the end of Orleans Quarters. They're going to keep that T-turnaround in until they complete construction.
Now, they're putting curbs down right now. Is that going into phase two also? I mean?
Not currently. They're stopping right now.
Oh, they can stop? Okay. Now, and you do understand that the turnaround, once you start selling houses in this first phase, that you got to have a turnaround.
Correct.
At the ponds.
Yes, sir. And in all actuality, they'll probably be finished the entire construction by the time a residential home is completed and ready for sale.
Yeah.
All right, any other questions? Sheriff?
Yep. Just so I understand, if I know all the questions. All right. You have the T-turnaround right now at the end of Orleans Quarters Drive as it physically sits today. And the buses have been able to turn around in that. Well, even though you have to back up, I'm glad I don't draw a school bus.
We have one here in Orange Drive as well.
You're doing the first, however many lots, because I can't read the numbers on here. So are you going to put in another T at the end of that first phase?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
In addition, we're going to keep the one that's currently there now.
Okay.
Until we complete all of the construction.
Okay.
It's actually located in one of the town's right-of-ways.
Okay. So, yeah, I know where the first one is. So the second turnaround, it looks like, based on this, the detention, the new stormwater detention pond, the very first ones in the front phase, are going to be adjacent to the 50-foot right-of-way?
One lot away.
Alright, but when you're going to also put in another turnaround down here?
Correct. But again, we're gonna keep this one here for the bus, the truck, they'll still be exactly where the entire project is.
But as Rhonda mentioned, I mean, you're gonna, my problem is the same thing she does.
Sean, could you stand up and use the pointer so everybody can see?
My whole issue is the same as Rhonda's, is if the market falls out, which, you know, that depends a lot on November, and you only sell this front phase, okay, then you're still gonna have to have a turnaround past those houses.
Correct.
In order for buses and the garbage truck and everybody else and their brother to go down there and turn around.
Correct, and there will be included in the phasing plan, because at the end of each phase, for example, this is phase one, right back here, there will be a T turnaround. Once they construct and everything's approved and accepted for phase one, and they start construction in phase two, they would construct a temporary T turnaround at the back of it as well. Now, at the whole time, the T turnaround that's currently at the front will remain
in place.
As each phase goes, because there's no reason for garbage truck to go down a road that essentially is just for construction, so. They won't be forced to have to go to the one that we put at the back of phase, they can still use the one that's out there. And if the town requests, we can add some language in there that if at any point in time construction stops for an extended period, then a permanent turnaround meeting the town's department.
We're gonna want that.
Yeah.
Okay, and then my other question is, you talk about in here the deeds and restrictions and so forth, and that the contractor or builder have to comply with that, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, the town doesn't enforce that, I mean, we have the exact same thing. Is there a copy of those deeds and restrictions anywhere that?
I'm sure there is. I don't have a copy. I can request it. It's, none of that has changed from the last time the plat was.
Oh, but we never saw the first one.
And I know that will be, obviously, it has to meet the town requirements.
And that's, you know, and I guess we're mostly interested in it in terms of the size of the houses that are gonna be built back there and what those requirements are gonna be for that housing, because that, I can tell you, is the biggest concern of everyone that lives in that neighborhood. If you're gonna build 1,200 square foot houses, really, really gonna be problematic for us.
But you have to meet the town requirements, which is?
1,200
square feet.
Yeah, which is like an overgrown trailer.
Well, excuse me, but I have a small house.
I'm just saying.
And that is not appropriate to say.
Well, it may not be, but I'm gonna tell you, based on the fact that the smallest house in our subdivision is 1,600 square feet, and we were all told when we bought there that everything in that entire area had to meet our restrictions.
But it was sold.
You know.
The property was sold.
But, you know, like these people said over here, why should you be allowed to change things in the middle of the game? And that's exactly what's happened to us. The game has changed in the middle. And we're, you know, what am I gonna do? You know, if you build a 1,200 square foot house down the road from me, what are you gonna do for?
Excuse me, do y'all have access now to the Malone-Stone property where they would still be the same deed restrictions? Y'all have access to that, whatever you call that little?
We access the public street, yes, ma'am.
So you have?
And I guess for the record, nothing's changed. The zoning hasn't changed, the requirements for the zoning haven't changed.
No, I know.
It's.
No, they don't have access across the surface, that's what the question asks.
I did notice that the,
They're suing us.
They got access from the road.
Yes, they have access from the boat.
The boat.
They're suing the homeowners association to gain access across the surface.
But the homeowners association, oh.
That's completely separate from this.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I understand that.
I want to address two things that Cheryl talked about. First of all, excuse me, Joey Norman, 3419 Live Oak. If it says on that plat that there are deed restrictions, we want to see them by the, with our next meeting. Whenever, the first Monday we have a committee, we want to see a setup with they on, okay? Now, let's address the size of the homes and how that all fits together. I have in my office right here a copy of this legal document that was filed with West Baton Rouge Parish, where Dane DeArmond and his wife, who owned whatever working title LLC, did tell the people in that subdivision that lots 1 through 76 would be following these deed restrictions, okay? He said that.
Yeah.
Legally and verbally. He led the people in there to believe that the houses would have the same deed restrictions for all 70-something lot, okay? That's, he said that, and he wrote that, and he signed that, okay?
That's.
All the while this was happening, the town's restrictions were exactly what they are today. Less than that. Because the town has to take into consideration there are people that are not wealthy that may want to build smaller houses or may have smaller lots, like in the front part of Brule, where they have really small property. They just can't build anything better. So you can't put the restrictions for the town real high where nobody can afford it. But be that as it may, the owner of the property, Mr. Dane DeArmond and Working Title LLC, told these people that, okay? So they are justifiably upset. But they're upset at the wrong people. They should obtain a lawyer, get yourself a civil suit, and sue him for breach of contract, because he promised the people in that area certain standards, and he not lived up to them. If he sold the property to Brandon Dodson and his company, and he did not tie that restriction to it, he is in breach of contract with you people in that subdivision. So the town of Brule's restrictions are set for a reason. They're not set for any individual who wants to do better. Example, the deed restrictions in Brule Oaks are much more restrictive than the town. The deed restrictions in the gated community are much more restrictive than the town. But that's a covenant between the people who live in that district and the owner and developer. So to come in and say that the town needs to go in and enforce an individual contract between two individual parties, I don't think you want your government to be in that kind of business, because that would be called Russia.
We don't have the authority to do that.
We don't have the authority to be Russia.
The town cannot address deed restrictions.
No, sir. That is correct.
That is correct.
That is correct. And I would say that even if that were brought before the council, I would think that would be a bad idea to do that. But not why? Because then you'd be creating a government that controls everything. Everything. I mean, you'd have to say, okay, everybody's going to build a house and you have to have a 1,700 living area house because that's what mine is. Andrea and her husband built one 1,700. Okay, I'm the mayor. I decide everybody's got a 1,700 or greater. Well, that'd be a fine how to do if somebody wanted to start a house or they wanted to build something in one of our smaller lots in the front part of Brule. That'd be a fine how to do. Some of these lots over here in the front part of Brule are fine places to live, but they're like 50 feet across and 70 feet deep. So, The anger that the people in all these quarters feel is directed in the wrong direction, in my opinion. That's my opinion. There was a legal and a moral obligation to follow through with the owner of that property to make sure that it was done the right way. And if I were you, I'd be just as mad. I'd be just as mad because I got double-crossed. But it's not the town that double-crossed me. Thank you.
Anybody else?
I did notice that the you got curb and gutter in the Orleans West, which is don't have in Orleans Quartz.
Correct.
That's an improvement, right?
I guess it's a matter of opinion.
Yeah.
Typically, that's the understanding.
Yeah.
Any other questions? All right, we'll close the public hearing. Which is the members? I'm making a motion.
What was this comment? You guys vote motion?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Well, motion by Ms. Claudette.
Second.
Second by Ms. Rhonda Perro. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Perro.
Yes.
Commissioner Stelly.
Yes.
Commissioner Sonia.
Yes.
Commissioner Perkins.
Yes.
Commissioner Parnell.
Yes.
Commissioner Lemoine.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's recommended by the council. The recommendation is to the council now to approve this preliminary plat. Is there any other business? Ms. Patricia? None? Remarks of personal privilege? None. Any announcements? I have none. Do you, Trish? None. Have a motion to adjourn. Motion by Ms. Rhonda.
Second.
Second by Mr. Kinlemoine. We are now adjourned.
Jane, I have the picture.
Yeah, right, here's one.